Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me, wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. Thank you for being here. We don't care if you're listening on the radio or the internet or subspace frequency, connecting up with the mothership, those of you who may be off your meds. We're glad to have you here, too. I'm glad to have somebody else who's off and off his meds. Mr. Rich Galen is with us, the man who I'm pretty sure has never run a marathon. He's our good friend. He's the publisher of the thrice-weekly cyber column, Mullings.com. He is, in the interest of full disclosure, of the Republican persuasion, but he's our good friend. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be with you. And how many marathons exactly have you run?
You mean in my waking hours or in my dreams?
Either one. If you're dreaming about running a marathon, you do need to get on your meds.
I ran one in my dreams. It was and I dreamed in Technicolor that night. So that was...
Were you naked when you were doing this? One of those?
We won't go there, but I won't tell you what kind of a marathon it was. But anyway, it's good to have you back, Rich. Talk to us about how things are going. Talk to us about the weekend polling, because that's all the other polls in the past, not, you know, are out the window now. We're coming up on, we're hard by to the election. I know you're glad that we are. I am too. But what about the weekend polls?
Well, the interesting thing is about when you do, these are called tracking polls, and I know most of your listeners are very familiar with this, so let me just quickly explain what a tracking poll is. A normal poll, you go out and you make however many phone calls you need to get, depending upon the size of the sample you want, but you want about 300 or 600 or 800 respondents to a poll. And in normal circumstances, you start and you just keep making calls until you get the 900 that you want. And what you want is the same percentage of people in your sample as there are in the population. So you want, you know, 28% Republicans. You want, depending upon the state, you want 27% Democrats or 30% Democrats. You want so many independents. You want so many people of color. You want so many Jews, so many Episcopalians. I mean, you try to make the sample look like a microcosm of the of the population. This is why when you have a blood test, the doctor doesn't have to take out all of your blood. They can take a little bit of that. That's how we explain this. Now, the problem is, though, is that taking a poll over a weekend, a tracking poll, by the way, is you don't do the 800 calls like the same night or in two nights. What you do is let's make it 750 so I can do it in my head. You make 250 calls a night, or you try to get 250 respondents a night, and then you keep going. And what you do is you drop off the fourth night. So it's called a three-day rolling average.
Uh-huh.
So you just keep right, moving the thing ahead. And what that tells you is which way things are going, what the movement is, and it's very valuable to campaigns.
What the trend is like.
Yeah, and because you can tell, especially in smaller campaigns or in campaigns in a state, you know what ads you're running and you know what ads your opponent's running, and you can tell if they're having an impact and what isn't. So that's why people do that.
Right.
The problem is that when you get to the day before the election, and in America, because most of our elections are on Tuesdays, not all of them, but almost all of them are on Tuesday, that means that the last three-day tracks are almost all over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night.
Right.
Okay. And for reasons we're not clear on, but this is true, Republicans always underperform in weekend polling. I mean, sometimes it's wildly out of whack. But for the most part, weekend polling is unreliable, even more than polling regularly is now, and Republicans underperform. So before we came on the air, you asked me how I was feeling. I said, when you look at the polls, other than one or two, Bush is ahead or tied in almost every one of them. And what I know about weekend polling says to me that Senator Kerry has not been able to climb the hill.
Now, if we didn't know you better, some of my audience are pretty, you know, they're pretty politically astute here. If we didn't know you better, we would have said that you were about to spin us a little bit, Rich.
No, not me. I would never do that.
Never do that, would you?
But, I did it once, but it didn't work out. So.
You fell down, didn't you?
Sorry.
You spun once and you fell down, I think, as I remember. But seriously, so you're saying that even though Republicans typically don't do well on the weekend rolling tracking polls with the rolling averages, that Mr. Bush actually is not doing so badly over the weekend?
No, what I'm saying is that when it comes down to people actually voting, the vote totals outperform what the weekend polling right. expected. That's what.
Well, what are some of the polls saying right now? You got any specifics?
Well, there's a slew of them. There's about 15 of them that have. What you do with these polls is you do. I was watching Tim Russert yesterday morning, and Peter Hart was on. And he and I did a panel at the National Press Club a couple of weeks ago, and he stole one of my lines. And I called him and said, "You lying little twerp!" And what you do with polls is that you do it like we used to watch figure skating in the Olympics. First, you throw out the East German judge score because you know he's lying, and then what you do is you throw out the high and the low.
I heard him say that.
Right.
I heard him say that.
Yeah.
And I remembered that you did say, you're right about that. He did steal your line. Yeah, I hope you brought him up short on that.
I'm going to bring when we come back, I'll just run through it. It's really fascinating.
Stand by a quick break. We're going to talk about how the campaigns are feeling right now. Rich has got his finger on that pulse, on those two pulses, I should say. And we're going to talk about controversy, too, right after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Station. Black roof country, no gold payments, tired stars.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our website is www.jbsba.com. Rich Galen is our guest. He has a website too. Rich, give it to us, please.
www.mullings, M as in Mary, ullings.com.
And that's where you can subscribe to Rich's thrice weekly cyber column. It's a lot of fun. It's good information, some fantastic links. That's where I got the link to all the polling information.
That's great stuff.
Which edition, which article was that? Which date was that? Do you remember?
It was, what's today?
27th or 29th or 27th?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah. But I think that's right.
Great site. I use it. Everybody. It's called realclearpolitics.com. It's all one word. Realclear.
Why don't I just type that in instead?
Yeah. Realclearpolitics.com. And it's a. It's these guys that just collect all of this polling, and because it's handy and it's all in one spot, then everybody goes to it and say, well, did you read? You know, what do you think about the tip poll?
Check that out, folks. And all these polls are there now. You had a story you were going to tell us. You remember what it was?
No.
Okay, never mind. The weekend polling. What do they show?
So the weekend polling. I mean, as of this, to finish up that rant. From my standpoint, and I think most people would agree with this if they were honest, that what you really want to look at is the poll. Whatever the tracking polling shows on the Thursday. Before the Tuesday election is probably about where the electorate is. Now, having said that, you could have, 8 billion tons of weapons gone missing. You could have Osama bin Laden. You could have a lot of stuff happen. But, I mean, assuming nothing seismic happens, then that's not a bad guess as to where the electorate is. But even at that, I mean, I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics right now, and the only poll that has carry ahead is a Marist poll. That was a one-night poll, and I don't know. It's 987 likely voters. It's not a bad sample. That's got Kerry plus one. Everything else is tied. Bush one, tied. Bush three, Bush five, tied, Bush three, Bush six.
But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but in this year, when with so many new people who have been registered to vote, so many young people who've registered to vote who don't have telephones anybody can reach except their the people they want to have their number because they have cell phones. In a year like this, is it possible that all this polling could wind up being just a bunch of follow-all?
Yeah, well, that's always possible, and sometimes it actually is. But in terms of the cell phone, I mean, the assumption there is that people that don't have landlines are behaviorally different from other people in their demographic.
Right.
In their demographic group, that is to say, that if I'm a white male, a white Jewish male in my now late 50s, upper middle class, blah blah blah. That just bought a 50cc motor scooter that my son is just blindly frightened.
Non-marathon runner.
non-marathon runner, uh-huh. that somehow I will behave differently if I have a cell phone or don't have a cell phone. And there's nothing to suggest.
But these young people that are being, I mean, is anybody getting, I mean you're assuming we're getting young, some of their peers,
of, yeah, because there are a lot of young people who do have phones.
Yeah.
And so you poll them, and you just make the assumption that the act of having or not having a cell phone will not change their voting behavior. I mean, it's like saying that going back to my blood sample metaphor or simile in this case, it's like saying somebody who has had a ring finger in their right hand amputated somehow will behave differently. Their blood will behave differently than somebody else. There's just no reason to think that.
Okay, now the national polls to me in 2004 election, the national polls to me mean nothing. What matters are the polls in the battleground states. Am I right about that?
Absolutely, sure. Yeah, but having said that, also let me say that when you get to these big states, you get to Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Michigan. I mean, those populations are extremely diverse as well. So it is not reasonable to me that somehow on the national level, because people will say, well, because he runs up such a big total in Texas on the national level. Well, but they adjust for that, and they adjust for Kerry's totals in Pennsylvania, in New York and California, because all those three states have been locked in for, 2 years. But it's not reasonable to me that these large states would be markedly different than the national samples as a whole, because their populations are just as diverse as they are nationally. So, but you are right. The thing that I believe most people on both sides are looking for, and I think in many cases praying for, is that one of these two guys catches a breeze, or their turnout operation technically is so much superior that they do in fact, grab a 2-point lead and hang on to it all through the night in enough states so that the electoral vote and the popular vote are outside the point where there's any reasonable expectation of litigating this for the next next month and a half.
Rich, you and you're like me. You don't have a life. You track these things awfully close. And you were here 4 years ago. Did we think it was as close as it is now as it was 4 years ago?
I just don't remember now what I was thinking 4 years ago. I suspect I thought that Bush was going to win 4 years ago as well, and of course I was right by a grand total of 537 votes.
Right.
But there are significant differences, one of which is that now Bush is the incumbent, and although people say, well, incumbents have to have whatever they have to have, the historical data doesn't mean anything anymore, number one. Number two is that that security is such an enormous umbrella over this whole activity that it really that issue wasn't even on.
Right. Absolutely. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back after these messages, we got more to come. I'm going to talk to Rich about some of these down ballot campaigns, some of the Senate campaigns. Those are important too, right after these messages. And I'm going to get him to be a little more specific about his predictions when we come back. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, once every 4 years, I leave my politically agnostic position and tell my audience who I'm going to vote for president. And I think it's important that you know and that you know why I'm going to, because my decision that I'm going to talk to you about is going to be based on small business politics. And not on national politics, not on so much on security, but on small business issues. I base it on your and my financial statement. And the next half hour after this one, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what I did 4 years ago, and I'm going to tell you who I'm going to vote for, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to vote for them. And that's coming up. You can look forward to that. Rich Gielen is our guest. He's with Mullings. He's the author and the publisher and the writer and the janitor at Mullings.com, the thrice-weekly cyber column. Folks, even people who aren't Republican, which Rich is, even people who aren't Republicans subscribe to his thrice weekly column because nothing else, they want to see what he's up to. And so I encourage you to do that. It's always a lot of fun. He's got pictures. He's got dancing dogs and ponies. It's a cool place. So check that out. Okay, Rich.
By the way, just before we get off this, I spoke to the North American Millers Association. These are the guys that make wheat,
right,
and oat products over the weekend, and I hadn't thought about this, but you know, these, there was a time they told me that in the mid 1800s, when milling was the single largest industry in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The single largest industry in the country. So these mills have been in business for 200 years. So the notion of, and I'll do this, then I'll get off it. But the notion of estate taxes for those guys is mm-hmm. is not an academic.
That's right.
An academic deal, because they don't have a lot of cash, but they got a lot of equipment.
That's right, and a lot of assets. Exactly, land that was worth nothing when they bought it, when their mm-hmm. forefathers bought it. Now it's worth millions.
Right.
Okay, what about the Weekly Reader, the Washington Redskins, and there's one other one. What's the other one? What about that? The Weekly Reader broke for Bush, but the Redskins lost.
Well, the Redskins suck. I mean, I live in Washington.
Yeah. According to that, we knew who was going to win the election 6 months ago then, right?
That's right. That's right. As soon as they couldn't figure out who the hell
And they still almost won, though, right, Rich?
Which just shows you how close this thing really is.
Well, I don't know if you saw that game, but there was a Democrat referee that called him back on that last touchdown. You know?
Just kidding, folks. My Weekly Reader poll, that hasn't been wrong, I think, in the last 150 years. Either, and they went for Bush. So, again,
and you still get the Weekly Reader, don't you, Rich?
Well, you know, because I like it, because it's printed on green tint IE's paper, and I think
and the pictures. You always like the pictures, I know, and the little coloring thing at the back. Yeah,
that's right. Because now I can stay in the line.
What about the controversy? Do you think the controversy that's bound to happen, Rich?
Yeah.
You can't have thousands of attorneys out there for both sides without having some controversy. Will we know? What are the chances? I know who you think's going to win. I want to know when you think we'll know.
Yeah, I could be wrong about who's going to win, but I don't think I'm wrong about this. I think that we will know the answer before we ever get to the West Coast. And,
really?
And what has to happen here is, and one of the things that the Florida controversy 4 years ago did for us, I have a friend who's the Republican executive director of the Republican Party in New Mexico, and he called the other day, he said, I think we're going to win this by about 5,000 votes. I said, wow, that'd be great. And I was thinking,
Bush lost last time.
Yeah, which Bush lost by 300 votes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm going to come back to that because it makes my point. Nobody cared about, let me finish this, that 6 years ago, if you would have said that one of these guys was going to win a whole state by 5,000 votes, you'd break out into projectiles.
Mm-hmm.
Went, wow, that's razor thin. Now you say 5,000 votes, that's 10 times Florida. The hell with it, let it go.
Right.
But but my point about the bigger point here is that nobody litigated New Mexico because it didn't matter.
Right.
I mean, my guess is that Bush probably could have overturned that result there, but it didn't make any difference, so nobody bothered. What I think will happen here is one of these two guys, and I suspect it will be Bush, this is why they actually have the vote, that one of these two guys will win enough states by not a huge margin, but enough of a margin so that the losing side would have to litigate in like three or four or five states and win, you know, almost all of them, overturn the election result in almost all of those states to reverse the outcome.
Right.
And the danger to the system on either side, the danger to the system that litigation at the end of presidential campaigns becomes the norm is so extraordinary.
Yep.
That the losing side, the political pressure on the legal guys will be overwhelming to just back down, get on airplanes, come home. You know,
so you think we'll know by midnight?
I think we'll know by midnight. Yeah, I think this will be over fairly soon. I think you start out in Indiana and Kentucky, and you come back east.
Rich, I got to go. One quick question, quick answer. Will we know the Republicans will keep the House? What about the Senate? Will they keep the Senate?
Not only keep the Senate, but probably go up one or maybe two.
All right, Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. He'll be back. We'll get him back to tell us what he thought, what happened actually, and how his predictions compared later on this week. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.